Jim Dearman.
In our society today, tragically, far too many have abandoned the biblical concept of family. But we must return to it if we're to please God and be as happy and content as God desires for us to be as His children. Family should inherently mean Christian, but it does not always mean Christian. Family would mean Christian if we individually would follow the teachings of God's Word in becoming Christians and then allow Christian principles and teaching to guide our family life. We've been talking last time about the word family and letting each letter of the word represent someone or something that is very vital and crucial to the family. The F in the word family represents the Father, who must point the rest of the family to the Heavenly Father, the one we are to love with all of our heart, soul, and mind, as Matthew 22:37 points out. The Father of the family is to guide his household in spiritual things, as Joshua, recorded in Joshua 24:15, was able to speak for his family in saying, "We will serve the Lord." Fathers need to be able to confidently say, "We will serve the Lord, as for me and my house." The A in the word family represents authority, as we noted last time, something absolutely crucial to the family. We must have a standard, and not just any standard, but the standard, God's Word, the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. The New Testament is the law to which we are amenable or subject, and in that we have everything we need to furnish us completely to every good work, including the work of the family. As far as young people are concerned, they need, deserve, and desire direction. Studies have indicated children really want direction. They want to feel the security a standard of authority brings to their lives. Parents must direct them to God's Word as that standard. The family must function based upon the precepts of God's Word. The father-child relationship is governed by the Word of God. The husband-wife relationship is governed by the Word of God. It's governed by that final and complete will of God to man through Jesus Christ. Yes, God's Word furnishes us completely and directs us in every relationship of life, including the family relationship. Now, last time we noted that the M in family represents the mother, the very center of the word in family. The very center of that word family is the letter M, representing mother, who is at the very center of the family. Yes, it is true, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. There is so much powerful influence exerted by the mother in the home. The Bible speaks of the godly mother who is a keeper at home, a teacher of her children, one who guides her household within her God-given sphere or role. It's a role of subjection to her husband, but not a role of inferiority or of lesser importance. Now, as we continue with this word family today, we look at the letter I, and that represents individuality. And we look at this word individuality in two senses. Each child must be viewed in the family situation and treated as an individual. We're told by the writer of Proverbs that we are to train up a child in the way he should go, in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. We're to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the idea of training up a child, literally in the Hebrew language, indicates to put in one's mouth the very training he should have. The idea of training him in the way he should go literally indicates according to the tenor of his way, or according to his disposition, character, and natural talents. In other words, take into consideration the individuality of the child. Each child is different and unique in character, in talents, in disposition, in interest. And this Old Testament passage is saying, by inspiration, take that into consideration. Take those talents, those dispositions into consideration. Take the individuality of the child into consideration. Now, this is not to say one standard is set for one child and another standard is set for another. No, indeed, we have but one standard. That's the Word of God. But the Word of God is saying, take into consideration the individuality of the child. It is very important. Train him up in this way, then when he's old, he will not depart from it. And the word old in that phrase, when he is old, means just that. It does not mean when he reaches the age of 18 or 21, but if he lives the teachings of his youth, all through youth and adulthood into old age, then he's not likely to depart from them. That's the rule, but of course there are exceptions. The wise man Solomon, who wrote this in many of the Proverbs, departed from his training in old age. He allowed foreign wives to lead him astray. But ultimately, he came to the right conclusion. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." Ecclesiastes 12:13. So recognize the individuality of the child and train him up with that in mind. There's a second sense in which we need to see individuality, and that is in the concept of individual worth. Every individual is important, especially to God. In a survey of teenagers, they were asked, "What do you really want?" One of the things they wanted was to be recognized as individuals with self-worth, with worthiness. Now, what other than Christianity can give a teenager or any other person a sense of self-worth and individual worthiness? Christianity is the only thing that can do that to the fullest possible extent. Jesus said the very hairs of our head are numbered. What does that tell us? It tells us of God's care, His concern, His awareness of each of us individually. The best thing a parent can do for his teenager is to teach him how much God cares for him and how much he is worth as an individual. He is created in the very image of God with a soul that will live throughout eternity. Let me ask you, can humanism elevate an individual to that kind of worthiness? No, indeed. When some organic evolutionist tries to tell us we're nothing more than advanced animals with no eternal soul, what does that imply or directly teach us, for that matter, about our self-worth? It has the impact, among other things, of saying to our young people, to all of us for that matter, you're really not worth that much. But God's Word tells us something quite different. It gives us an individual worth, a worthiness, a feeling of the right kind of importance, the right kind of pride. In fact, as we look at ourselves in comparison to the God who made us, it ought to humble us. But at the same time, it ought to tell us we are important to God as His creation because we are created in His image. So individuality in the family needs to be taught. We are individuals, we submit to the same standard, but we recognize our different talents, our characteristics and inclinations. We also recognize individuality as God sees us as individuals. Each of us is known and loved by Him and has great worth because of our soul that will live throughout eternity. But now let's move to the letter L in family, and it obviously represents love. The word love is thrown around quite a bit in our society. Oh, I love a certain kind of food, we might say. But we are talking about love in the most important sense, the highest form of love that ought to permeate the family unit. The poet has written, "The family is like a book. The children are the leaves. The parents are the cover that protective beauty gives. At first, the pages of the book are blank and purely fair. But time soon writes its memories and paints its pictures there. Love is the little golden clasp that bindeth up the trust. Oh, break it not, lest all the leaves shall scatter and be lost." Love is that which ties everything together. The inspired apostle, the Apostle Paul, wrote in Colossians that above all these things that he spoke of, we are to put on love. We're to put on love. The crowning characteristic of the Christian life is love. It's so important to the family unit. But there must be proper biblically based love. Love is not letting the children do as they please, but leading them to do what pleases God. We must understand that true love will discipline. It will discipline our children. That's what the writer of Proverbs declared in Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 24. He made it clear that discipline is to be exercised when he said, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." The entire epistle of 1 Corinthians indicates love's concern for sin and the desire for its correction. Paul wrote some things that were very sobering to the Corinthians, but in the very last verse of that wonderful epistle, he said, "My love be with you all in Christ Jesus." Yes, Paul corrected them at various places in that epistle, but he could feel good about ending that letter with those words of love. You see, he understood, as we should understand, that love will discipline. True love, the greatest love, is love which does that which is best for the one who is loved. That's the agape love, the highest form of love, the love that must permeate the family. Yes, love. It is so crucial to the family. The Bible speaks of different kinds of love. Phileo love, that's brotherly love, brotherly affection. The agape love, the highest form, and then family love, mentioned in the negative sense in two passages where the phrase without natural affection, without family love, that's the idea there. There are some who are without that natural family love that ought to be present. But let's look at the final letter now in our word family. The letter Y represents the youngsters, the children. What do they really want? Do they really want the keys to the car and no curfews? No, not really. They want guidance, direction. Part of that survey of teenagers I mentioned earlier also said they want a moral standard set for them. But what should children give their family? What should children give their parents? Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. They should give obedience. That's what they should give. They're to obey their parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. They should offer subjection to the authority of God and to the God-given authority of parents. Now, reviewing our word family, we see F, the father, A, authority, God's standard of authority, M, mother, the very center of the household, individuality, recognizing the individuality of each child and his individual importance to God, L, yes, that's love, the highest form of love that does what is best for the one who is loved, and Y, the youngsters, who are so important, who must be guided to do what God desires, and who hopefully will have families themselves, which will please God and bless our nation and our world.